IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. As all of us might know, over a million doctors all across India have gone on strike because of a recent notification by the Ministry of Ayush. This notification basically said that people who have studied Ayurveda in their postgrad, taken a particular set of streams related to Ayurvedic surgery, are now going to be allowed to perform over 39 highly specialized surgeries for their patients. As you can imagine, the fact that where India is going to be suddenly widening its potential pool of surgeons, the number of people who are potentially allowed to do surgeries on patients, is going to have some pretty major public health consequences. Doctors have accused the government of basically disrespecting the knowledge and training that they accumulate over so many years. Because if you look at the way that surgeons, allopathic surgeons are trained, very often they actually observe dozens of surgeries in progress. They conduct a number of surgeries under supervision before actually being allowed to do their own surgeries independently. And clearly a very different kind of standard is being applied to Ayurvedic surgeons instead. So there's really a lot to get into over the course of this discussion. Some questions that we have in mind, for example, is how, for example, there is a standard definition of an Ayurvedic curriculum and the kind of broader consequences that this might have for India's public health system. And the other big problems in India's public health system, which this move is ostensibly meant to resolve, but might actually worsen in the process of being established. So let's get into it. Sunila, over to you. Can you first help us understand what this notification exactly means? And what is the case to say that Ayurvedic professionals are qualified to perform allopathic surgeries?
Yes, thanks, Anirudh. So last Friday, all of the allopathic doctors across India, they went on strike. And the reason, as you mentioned, was the notification that was issued by the Ministry of Ayush, which authorizes postgraduate practitioners in specified streams of Ayurveda to be trained to perform surgical procedures. And these procedures include removal of benign tumors, nasal and cataract surgeries. So this has drawn a lot of flak from the modern medicine fraternity. Now, like how the education in Ayush works is that first they have a undergraduate program of 4.5 years and then a postgraduate program of 3 years. And the Ministry of Ayush says that during post-graduation, the colleges already have departments which actually train the Ayush postgraduates in performing basic surgeries. Now, these departments, they are called Shalya and Shalakya. So the disease, surgeries that they perform in this department, they include removal of abscesses or cysts or lymph nodes and treatment of hemorrhoids or prolapse rectum and removal of gallstones. Basic surgeries that they do through this department. Now, the notification says that they can actually perform surgeries related to eyes or ENT, eyes, nose and throat, and then teeth, like dental surgeries as well. So these are very specialized surgeries, and like MBBS doctors, they actually go through, after doing MBBS, they go through specialization courses which last for 3 to 4 years. So the modern medicine fraternity, they have been arguing that, you know, it's wrong to mix Indian medicine and modern medicine. And like when we go through so much of training, it wouldn't be fair if this Ayush doctors, they just go through a training period of short time and get to perform these surgeries. So this is what the whole argument is about.
Yeah, Anirudh, I have a question for you since you are the historian. Is surgery part of modern medicine, or have we had Ayurvedic surgeons before? I think surgery, is it modern medicine?
So here's the thing. One of the big claims that Ayurveda practitioners make is, Sushrut was this great surgeon and he invented surgery and he did plastic surgery 5 billion years ago. Therefore, we are also allowed to do it. Now, I think that's a dumb argument to make for a lot of reasons. You have to keep in mind that when Sushruta existed, when Charaka and all these great Ayurvedic surgeons were around writing these treatises, that was medicine as they knew it. The medicine, the surgeries they were undertaking were based on empirical understanding as best as they could figure it out. But I'm pretty sure that if Sushruta and Charaka were around today, they wouldn't shut their eyes to the advances that modern medicine has made, especially in terms of understanding what causes diseases, how to undertake diagnoses and stuff like that. And I think this also like brings up the broader question of what Ayurveda really is. So one thing that a lot of Indians in the 21st century tend to forget is that over the course of the colonial period, there was a lot of churn, a lot of questioning that happened as to what really defines Indianness. And various political parties came up with different answers to that question, right? And in order to come up with answers to that question, they kind of leaned into different narratives. They selected different texts and kind of identified them as timeless and immortal and belonging to India and as defining Indian civilization. Now, this is a debate that listeners will know that I've had with Pranay on All Things Policy a few times. About, for example, where the Arthashastra defines an Indian strategic culture. Similarly, it is really up for question as to whether Ayurveda defines an Indian medical culture, because there were many, many, many branches within Ayurveda and there were many, many branches within traditional medicine as well. All of them, as far as their practitioners knew for many centuries, had different philosophies of how the body operated because they didn't have access to modern observation techniques. All of them were based to some extent on empirical understandings through experimentation, right? You feed one patient one kind of herb, you feed another patient another kind of herb. But the fact remains that that's still a very imperfect kind of system. Now, the question of surgery is again a kind of complex one, right? The way that I see it, if an Ayurvedic surgeon has much more sophisticated allopathic knowledge available to them, then why not just get the allopathic qualification where we have decades of experience, of empirical experience, of observations from across the world, a very, very large body of evidence showing that it works, that all the potential side effects can be managed, that any unforeseen consequences during the surgery can be managed. I don't see why that should be ignored in favor of saying, oh, this happened X thousand years ago and we were the first to do it. So we're just going to keep on freaking doing that and kind of close our eyes to modern knowledge, close our eyes and ears to modern knowledge. It just doesn't make sense to me. I can understand the political reasons why the Ministry of Ayush might have made a move like this. But Ayurveda and modern allopathic science do not stand on the same epistemological foundation. Ayurveda, it might be an ancient tradition, but just because it's an ancient tradition does not necessarily mean that it's more effective at saving the lives of patients. Just because it existed before modern medicine kind of showed up does not automatically make it better. This idea that old is always good and that tradition always is equal to or trumps science and empiricism is, I think, a very, very poor foundation for a modern scientific policy to be based on.
Okay, so I completely agree with you that surgery by itself has undergone tremendous improvements over the past few decades. Not only in terms of the actual techniques and the various gadgets that we now use, but also in basic principles, right? So antisepsis, for example, antibiotics have changed the way we have done surgeries over the past century or so. Anesthesia by itself has undergone a lot of improvement. And we have been able to, as you said, we have been able to tackle a lot of the side effects that it could otherwise lead to. But I think there is no sort of perfect medicinal system anyways, right? And I'm going to play the devil's advocate here and I'm going to bat for the Ayurvedic surgeons. If there is a good curriculum, if there is good practice, if there's good training given to someone who has studied Ayurveda and who has studied human physiology, would it be okay if they perform surgeries? And again, if they are trained with the same rigor as you would anyone who's studying any other form of medicine. I mean, forget about allopathy, even any other form of medicines. If we all study the same kind of, if they've gone through the same process, had standard hours of practice that are required for them to actually practice surgery on a patient. And if that kind of helps us reach out to those areas in India where currently modern medicine has not been able to penetrate for a number of various reasons, right? So infrastructure might not be there. There might not be private company gains that can incentivize the private sector to reach out. Government spending on health is anyways extremely poor. So as a temporary arrangement to make sure that we have enough doctors who are trained, would that be such a bad idea?
I kind of agree with you, Shambhavi, because we really need to look at the bigger problem here. Like, we don't have enough allopathic doctors in India. I mean, the ideal doctor to population ratio is 1:1,000, but we have like less than one doctor per 1,000 population. And considering the given times, we are in need of a lot more doctors who can actually treat these patients. And if, I mean, I'm not saying they should be performing like high level specialized surgeries, but if Ayush doctors could supplement the capacity, I think that would be a good thing to have.
So my take on this is, if the problem is that we don't have enough doctors, then focus on that problem rather than changing the definition of what a doctor is, right? Because think of it this way. Let's say that there is a demand to make high-end consumer electronics and India needs more qualified engineers. Tomorrow morning, some brilliant bureaucrat in the Ministry of Traditional Engineering wakes up and says, okay, I have henceforth decided that people who have studied in madrasas up till grade 12 can now build high-end consumer electronics. That doesn't mean that this guy is overnight going to be able to build a really high-end system. Even if he builds something, there is no guarantee that anybody in the world is actually going to buy it. There is no risk. There is no guarantee that it's not going to pose a safety risk to everybody who uses it. But somehow, when we're talking about Ayurveda, we have this kind of soft spot. There's this unspoken understanding that, hey, you know, it's our thing, man. You know, we've been doing it for thousands of years. We invented it. It's wonderful. It's great. There can be no side effects. So if there's a problem, let's just use this as a solution. I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy. I think that the potential side effects of opening the gates can be rather damaging in the long run. And more to the point, Shambhavi, the system that you're suggesting where Ayurvedic surgeons get the same amount of training as allopathic surgeons, I think, again, like, it's kind of problematic because, how do I put this? As I said, the epistemological basis of their knowledge are different. So an allopathic doctor is going to learn about germ theory, is going to learn about the importance of antiseptics. He's going to have a different understanding of what causes the various side effects of the surgeries he's performing. Whereas an Ayurvedic surgeon isn't. And it kind of seems illogical to me that if we have one system that is known empirically to work better on the basis of tradition alone to promote another system to equal standing, doesn't make sense. Now, if you were to say that, okay, fine, let us also train the Ayurvedic surgeon in allopathic knowledge, also teach them about germ theory, teach them about how that causes side effects in surgery, then my answer would be, what is the point of having Ayurvedic surgeons at all? Clearly, the solution that you're proposing is really that we need to have more allopathic surgeons, not more Ayurvedic surgeons. And while I agree that, yes, the resource constraint is a massive problem. India needs more doctors. Once again, the answer to that needs to be more investment. It needs to be that the government needs to have a way to create more doctors and to get those doctors to more out-of-the-way places to perform the surgeries that they need to. There is definitely some kind of trust deficit. I mean, I'm sure all of us have relatives who sit up and watch shows early in the morning about the auspicious conjunction of the stars and that kind of stuff. But I also think that modern medicine has a lot more traction than people give it credit for. If your parent is on their deathbed, nobody is going to say, no, do not give them modern medicine, give them only an Ayurvedic solution. I feel like that's a gap that can be bridged with the right kind of policy, the right kind of training, the right kind of investment. And I don't see a solid policy-related reason to change to allow Ayurvedic surgeons to perform more and more sophisticated procedures?
I think there is no simple answer to this, because I'm not saying Ayush doctors should be allowed to perform surgeries at the level of modern medicine doctors do. But I think maybe in assistive capacity, if they could help, that would be good, I guess. And also, we should talk about the Central Council of Indian Medicine, which actually regulates the Ayush education, because there has been a lot of criticism surrounding it. People like the experts of Ayurveda, they are saying that the Central Council of Indian Medicine has only promoted what private college managements demand. And in this misplaced zeal to give better earnings to Ayurvedic doctors, it is the argument is that Ayurvedic doctors don't earn as much as modern medicine doctors do. And in order to improve their earnings, the council has sidelined many skills that Ayurveda could have actually included. And what Anirudh said right now, they are trying to pivot towards including more allopathic medicines and treatment in the Ayurveda stream. So the experts from Ayush are saying that the statutory body, the Central Council for Indian Medicine, it has subjected the curriculum to nurture more and more replicas of doctors of modern medicine. So I guess the council here itself is trying to include elements of modern medicine in Ayush, which might then question the skills of Ayush doctor, like whether they are modern medicine doctors or actually they are Ayush doctors. So I think the confusion starts here itself in the education level.
See, I mean, that's a good point, but I don't think that this move to kind of update the Ayurvedic curriculum is misplaced, as you said, Sunila, because to me, it just seems to make sense. I can't off the top of my head name any government anywhere in the world that has a ministry of homeopathy. I mean, the scientific basis for homeopathy makes zero sense. And here we have a ministry in India that's ostensibly supposed to actually promote homeopathy and homeopathic cures for serious diseases, which makes zero sense. And in my opinion, ends up discrediting the public health system even more by promoting, pardon my language, but promoting quackery. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that Ayurveda is quackery. I think that in some cases, it can work. But in a lot of other cases, it is clearly inferior to modern medicine. And I don't see much of a scientific case to be made for saying that Ayurveda and modern medicine are equal in every single way. As you've been saying, Sunila, I think that they're both suited for different things. Let Ayush practitioners stick to, I don't know, treating common colds, treating things that aren't life-threatening. But when it comes to extremely complex procedures like operating on the eye and all that, I don't see how a pure Ayurvedic, a quote-unquote pure Ayurvedic curriculum can really solve that. So in my view, what the CCIM is doing, updating the Ayush curriculum to be more in line with modern science and then saying that, okay, if you have these qualifications, then you can perform, is a better system. In fact, if you ask me, I don't think it goes far enough. But that's just my thoughts. What do you guys think?
Okay, so the way I see it is updating on new knowledge is great. And I don't see any issues with them trying to do that. Obviously, the philosophy of applying that knowledge is different in allopathy and in Ayurveda and in homeopathy. I don't know enough of the curriculum of any of them. I'm not a doctor. I have a PhD. So, you know, like First Lady Biden, I am Miss Shambhavi Naik. So without that knowledge, it is really difficult to actually understand how they're approaching the knowledge that they have been exposed to. If they have a similar sort of rigor as modern medicine, what we like to call modern medicine does, then I'm okay with going to an Ayurvedic surgeon, I guess. I am someone who has tried everything for my gallstones before getting surgery done. And I believe surgery is the best option there. So to be honest, I really don't know enough of what Ayurvedic doctors learn and how they can apply that knowledge. My main concern is that India has been really poor at regulating outcomes. Suppose in terms of the standard of doctors that we are creating, the standard of drugs that we are creating, and until we can fix that end of the pipeline, it is very difficult for us to control negative outcomes that might come out of either someone prescribing a drug or someone doing a surgery. So as a government, I would have ideally liked them to have more focus on getting their regulatory arms in place for grievance redressals, for standards of drugs that have been given, for standards of things that have been used in operating theaters, right? Then focusing on these aspects.
Shambhavi, you know, one of my friends who is an Ayush doctor, she has done BAMS. She was saying that it's actually very difficult to regulate Ayurvedic medicines because the proportion of the components that are used in Ayurvedic medicines, it's not fixed. It keeps on changing according to the treatment that has been that is being given to a particular patient. So it's really difficult to actually regulate Ayurvedic drugs or medicines.
Yeah, I agree. But even though, there was this thing on Twitter yesterday, someone from Chennai Center Lab, some LIV52 to analyze, and they found heavy metals in coronal and in LIV52. And obviously, this is not peer-reviewed findings, so we don't know whether they want to publish this or not. But when you find things like that, right, it's very difficult then to also say that we can't regulate this or we won't be able to set standards. There has to be some sort of regulation that comes into place to protect Indian citizens. And if India's drug regulator cannot find a way, then I would rather not have a drug where I don't know if it's safe. I mean, you might not be able to regulate the final product that has been prescribed, but at least the raw materials you should be able to regulate, right? You can't find heavy metals. I mean, that's like crazy.
I mean, yeah, that's a given. Like, there shouldn't be any poisonous metals in our medicines. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
So one point that you mentioned, Shambhavi, I think that was really important to the overall context of this discussion. That is that the end result of any of this regulation, any of these policies is to ensure that civilians are protected, that Indian citizens have access to good healthcare and have access to redressal should a healthcare practitioner not or cause unintended consequences, right? And this, I think, kind of supports the broader point you're making about regulation. Now, think of it this way. Let's say that we had a regulator that was capable of investigating whether a doctor's practice, whether they were allopathic or Ayurvedic, had been responsible for causing harm to patients. Now, in theory, that regulator would be able to winnow out the practitioners who are not able to deliver the intended outcomes and therefore, by definition, end up creating a more effective public health system. Now, for example, you have an allopathic doctor who is prescribing medication that has side effects. He loses a license, or he prescribes a medication that, as far as he knows, doesn't have any side effects, but has been badly manufactured. Then you take out the manufacturer of that drug and prevent them from like putting all this kind of substandard stuff out onto the market. Or you have, for example, an Ayurvedic practitioner who's doing stuff that is really not qualified to do and therefore loses a license. Or let's say is adulterating ingredients that he's using for his medication and therefore loses a license. I feel like a lot of these issues can be solved through building up more regulatory capacity in the healthcare system. But the conclusion that I am drawing from this is somewhat different from what you guys are drawing from this, which is that, you know, see them both as equal. I don't think that there is a case to be made because such a perfect regulator can exist only in theory, right? And in practice, the best solution that we have, given the scientific knowledge that we have, is that Ayurvedic doctors and surgeons should not be allowed to do all the things that allopathic ones are. And there is a case to be made for kind of constraining their activities. Should this be disproved empirically, or should the Ayurvedic surgeons adopt elements of allopathic practice that we know will lead to better outcomes for patients? And again, I'd like to emphasize that the end result here is the patients, not the livelihood of the practitioners. Then I think there's a case to be made for kind of changing the definition and the qualifications required to do surgery. But we aren't really there yet. And if the government wishes to invest and make us reach that point a few years from now, I'm all for it. But I don't really think that the current move really has has a lot of sound public health policy related thinking behind it as of now.
Yeah, I think there are motivations everywhere, right? There are motivations for why allopathic surgeons might not want Ayurvedic surgeons to come in. There are motivations why Ayurvedic doctors might want surgeons to come in. Being at Takshashila for now 4 years, I would prefer the free market approach. The problems that obviously are that you just spoke about as well is A, we don't have a good enough regulator. B, we do not have an effective enough communication system for patients who are choosing either forms of, I mean, any form of medical treatment to have enough information. It depends on the doctor that they're speaking to. There are people I know who will never go to an allopathic doctor, who will only go to an Ayurvedic or a homeopathic doctor because they believe that putting chemicals and other things in their bodies that allopathy prescribes is wrong. There are people obviously who will never go to an Ayurvedic or homeopathic doctor, you being one, Anirudh, but will only go to someone who practices modern medicine. And we at this point of time have very little knowledge on, not even on the medicine, right? We don't even have enough knowledge on the doctor that we are going to. So there's a lot that needs to be changed. Should India wait for all of those processes to be put in place before allowing people training and qualifications for surgery? Or should we start taking baby steps on training people, giving them the opportunity to practice, but making sure that at least that practice is good enough for them to put to take someone else's life in their hands? That's a trade-off that I guess has been decided upon in a way when this notification came out for Ayush doctors to do surgery.
Well, I can at least say for myself that I heartily disagree with the calculation that the government has made. But that's just my point of view. Srila, over to you. Final thoughts?
I think it's a very complex issue and there is no black or white answer here. Like modern medicine doctors are going to argue that they don't want Ayush doctors performing surgeries, obviously because they have spent so much time in training and it would be unfair to them. And then Ayush doctors are going to be saying, we actually have studied about the human anatomy for 4.5 years that they did undergraduation and another 3 years in the post-graduation. So both of them are going to have valid points from their sides. But the thing is, we need to address the issue of regulation here because in the end, it's the public who is going to suffer because of the information asymmetry that will be there. So I guess that should be addressed.
Yes, once again, a reminder to those in power and those making policy, think of the end users. Think of those who are going to face the consequences of your policies. And on that note, I think that I hope that all of our listeners have come away from this with a better understanding of the complexities and the different points of view that go into a topic like this. And thank you all. Thank you, Sunila and Shambhavi, for joining me. And thank you all for listening to All Things Policy.
Thanks, Anirudh.
Thanks, Anirudh.
Please consider signing up for Takshashila's courses. Applications are now open and you can apply at www.takshashila.org.in/courses.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.